We're going to go with the message now, the last in our series on the courage of Christ. So different message than you heard earlier, Miss Ann. But this is on the courage of Jesus Christ. We've had several messages so far. We had the first one was the courage to endure temptation as he battled against Satan. You and I need to have that kind of courage. Amen? And then the courage to oppose phony faith. And we need to oppose it, yeah, out there. But you know what? We really need to work on opposing it in here. You know what I mean? So tables need to get flipped in our own life, in our own heart, like Jesus did in the temple. You and I are the what? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we need to work on our lives. And then we looked at a couple of other messages on courage. The courage to be meek. It takes courage to be meek. It's easy to get stuck on yourself. Amen? But to lay low and to keep it low and to be humble, it takes courage to do that, to face yourself and to realize He's King and we're servants. It takes courage. Jesus was meek and He opposed the Pharisees. Then on last time, the courage to love others openly. Oh, I love others, but do you love them openly? Do they know you love them? Oh, I love people. Listen, but do they know it? Well, if I love them openly, other people will say, he's loving people openly. Yeah. Well, that's what Jesus did. He got him killed. Remember what they said about Jesus? They said, he is a glutton. Somebody that eats in excess. He's a wine bibber. That's somebody giving the wine. He's a friend of sinners. Those were crooks. Of publicans, rather. Publicans were crooks, tax collectors. And then sinners were actually people of vice and crime. These were low-life losers. So Jesus wore a label that he was a glutton and a wine bibber because he did openly eat with these kind of people. And they were sinners and losers. But that was the label. He said, stick it on me. That's who I love. And so I tried to close the message last week by having you read with us. And that is, we are all crooks. And we're all losers. Compared to the Lord. Amen? Can I get amen on that? Yeah. That's who we are. Courage. Do you have the courage to love other people? Today, the courage to die. The courage to die. Do you have the courage to die? Jesus did. And I'd like you to sit up, pinch somebody if you have to, because we're getting ready for the message. Amen? And I'm excited about it. Let's go with it right now. The courage to die. Jesus lived on this earth 33 years. 33 years. You'll see some things about his life real quick. First of all, the first 2 years he lived in hiding. Of course, he was born in Bethlehem, but remember Joseph had a dream, and in a dream he was told, take the child to Egypt because Herod is going to kill the child. And so children 2 and under were killed. Then Herod died. Joseph got word. He's dead. That's a happy day. And then he moved to where? Back to his hometown of Nazareth. Nazareth, excuse me. And so for the next 28 years, Jesus lived in obscurity. We only see one thing in Scripture. And that was when he was age 12 at the temple confounding the scholars and the wise. And remember, his parents had left, and they thought he was in the big group that traveled in the caravan. They get a day's journey. Where's Jesus? Boy, you talk about ticked off parents. They just turn around and drive a block, man. They had a whole day's journey. That's 2 days. And they see him in the temple. And Jesus said, say it with me if you know it. Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? So we don't see any more of him after that. He goes to Nazareth, and he lives a life of obscurity. Then the last 3 years, Jesus lived in ministry. Remember, he came to John the Baptist, who was baptizing in the River Jordan at Bethabara. And he says, baptize me. And John says, me baptize you. You baptize me. He said, do it, John. And John baptized him, and the heavens opened, and the Spirit descended like a dove. And the Father said, say it with me if you know it, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well. And then immediately after that, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then after that, he went to Nazareth. Remember back to his hometown? We talked about it a few weeks ago. And he went to his hometown hero comes home. After he did miracles and things like that. They wanted him to put on a show. And Jesus wouldn't do it. And they led him to the top of a cliff and tried to throw him off. Remember that? Tried to kill him. So here's the picture. Jesus' life started with people trying to kill him. And so he lives his life of obscurity. And as soon as he comes back on the scene, what are people trying to do again? Trying to kill him. Jesus had courage. Unbelievable courage. And he had the courage to die for you and for me. And we want to see it. 33 years. Boy, that's not a long life, is it? 33 years. Hey, none of us are promised tomorrow, friend. 33 years. Jesus did not come to live a long life. Say this with me right here. He came to save sinners. That's why he came. He didn't come to get old and sit in a rocking chair. He came to die for you and me. Verse Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. How about say this with me? I like you talking to me. It just helps me. It helps with the message. It makes it also sink into your head. I believe it. Say that with me. Jesus was born to die. That's why he was born. That's why he came. Now, no man took his life from him. It's very important that you understand that as we get to the message. We've just laid a little groundwork getting to where we want to go. No man took his life from him. Greater love has no man than this, John 15, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So nobody took Jesus' life from him. But you know what? There were a couple of men in the Bible who thought that they were in charge and had the power to take his life. There were two guys, but there were more than that. But there were two that stuck out as I was studying this week. Two men thought that they had the power, that they were in charge to take the life of Jesus. The first one was a man named Caiaphas. Caiaphas, the high priest. Let's go down to the scriptures. John 11, verse 47 and verse 48. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. This was after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay, he had been doing healing, been doing miracles. But guess what? Wake up call. We have a problem. There's a man who is raising people from the dead. Okay? This is going to be a problem to our religion, they think. So they call the council meeting. What do we do for this man? Does many miracles. And you know what? I want you to catch something. If you don't get anything else I say today, this just really blessed me in my office this week. I've never seen it before. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. They had this council meeting and they said this. If we let him alone, all men are going to what? Believe on him. Boy, that gave me a spell this week in the office. Let me tell you something. So many of us, including me, I go out, I try to witness, share my faith, and the devil puts that thought in my mind. They're not going to listen to you. He does that on Sunday when you come, and I feel that way often. I need encouragement. Because you feel that way. Maybe you don't feel that way. I feel that way. They're not going to listen to me. You know? Let me tell you something. This helped me this week. They said, if we let him alone, all men are going to believe on him. And I tell you what, friend, we need to believe like that. Listen. We need to believe that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. We need to believe all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He told us to share the gospel. He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you shall be witnesses unto me. We need to believe that when we share our faith, men are going to come to Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. The old heathen Pharisees believed it. Didn't they? We need Christians to believe this. That as we live for Christ and we share Christ and we walk in the Spirit, we're out here in this world. Listen, people are going to be affected by our lives. Do you understand that, sir? And you've done it. How many had somebody before you became a Christian, they impacted your life somehow with the gospel? Let me see your hand quickly. Well, Shazam. It happens, friend. Your life was impacted by somebody. You have impacted other people's lives. You need to realize, listen, if you don't leave him alone, but you let him show forth in your life, all men are going to believe on him. Boy, I love that. Worth the message for me today. That's what I got out of it. But guess what? If we don't do something, they said, they're going to take away both our place of authority and leading and ruling the people. And they're going to take away our nation. So here's where Caiaphas comes on the scene. Verse 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all. He was going to tell it like it was. He was going to set them straight. He had a plan. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied, say it with me, that Jesus should die for the nation. He came out of that meeting thinking he was in charge, thinking he had the power. Let me tell you something. I know this guy's making an uproar. He's healing people, raising somebody from up the dead. I heard over in Bethany. I understand that. That was just right across the Kidron Valley, by the way. They could look out their window and see the lights over there. Real close. And he thought he would solve the problem. We'll just kill Jesus. That's what we'll do. Now watch it. A couple of things. Caiaphas thought this. Here it is. If he dies, we'll live. And I also thought Malthus this week as I studied. He was so close to being right, but so wrong. I mean, as Christians, we can say that, can't we? Because Jesus died, is that right?
Amen.
That's right. He was close, but he was so wrong. He thought, if I take his life, if we take his life, we'll live, we'll have our place, we'll have our nation. We can do like we've always done. We'll be in charge. So close, but so wrong. Let's keep going. The next one was Pilate. Maybe that's the one you thought of. Caiaphas, the next one at least that I thought of, was Pilate. Pilate thought that he was in charge. Now here's a verse that connects the two guys. John 18:28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas. This is later on, many chapters later, in a different situation altogether. This is towards the end where Jesus is going to be crucified. They led him from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. Isn't it crazy? Here they're putting a man to death, but they're really still so spiritual. I tell you know what I learned from this? These are human beings. I'm a human being. I struggle just like they struggle with, quote, my spirituality. Amen? Don't kill it. They're worrying about, oh, I can't go in there unless we be defiled. Okay? Let's keep moving with the scripture. 19:1-3, John, Pilate. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers by the crown of thorns, they put it on his head, they put on a purple robe on him. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Verse 6. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. You do it. I'm not doing it. You do it. The Jews answered and said, We have a law. Here they are spiritual again. And by our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Keep reading. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more what? Afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall. He's trying to solve this problem. Said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. But look at this verse right here. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Don't you know who you're talking to, boy? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify you and I have the power to let you go? Can you imagine somebody like that talking about that to Jesus? So, what happened? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given from thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now think with me just a moment here. And we're going to move off. We're trying to make a point, right? Pilate thought he had the power. We saw that verse. We just said it. He thought that he had the power to crucify him or to let him go. So you need to talk to me. Okay? But let's keep moving. But Jesus And that verse 11, he says, you have no power except it's given you from above. And I want you to maybe note that little verse sometime in your Bible. Mark it, think it through a little bit. He said to Pilate, those that delivered me to you has the greater sin. Pilate, we saw earlier, was what? He was what? He was afraid, right? And here's what I'm saying. Jesus actually helped Pilate to deliver himself to be crucified. I believe that. You might not believe that. As I read the scriptures, I believe that. I think Pilate was hesitant. He was hesitant. We can see that what's going on. And he finally, Jesus said, the one that delivered you to me has the greater sin. Basically, go ahead and do what you got to do, man. Is that courage or what? So, is that courage? He's helping somebody deliver him to his death. Courage to die. Jesus had it. This is a crazy statement. I want you to think it through. Let's keep moving. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and they led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And this verse here, right there. And he bearing his cross. Courage. Do you feel it this morning, Satan? Can you feel the courage? It's hard in a short setting like this to sort of help you see the courage of Christ. But you know the Lord and you love the Lord. Many of you, you know the story. But Jesus bore his cross. He carried his cross. He had amazing courage to die for you and I. Listen, look, Jesus had the courage to die. Now we're going to make it personal. This is where I need you to listen. Okay? Come on, we'll live. He had the courage to die. No man took his life from him. Nobody took his life from him. We see that in John 10. He said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This is commandments, what I received of my Father. Nobody takes my life from me. Jesus had the courage and the love to give his life. Hebrews 12, 2, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look at it. Who for the what? Joy. The cross was a joy that was set before him. He what? Endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down now at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had courage to die. Do you have the courage to die today? Do you have the courage to die? I mean, my goodness, I've come to church, I got up, I got dressed, I cried out loud, the guys asked me if I've got the courage to die. Do you? Are you ready to die?
Amen.
Are you ready to die? Also, let's look at something right quick. Here we go. Talk to you just a minute. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Here they are. Here's the facts. Number one, life is a vapor. Can you say that with me? Life is a vapor. Do vapors hang around?
Not long.
Where'd that vapor go? There's some things in life I don't understand. That's one of them. I can beat it and poof, it's gone. That's what growing up in the South gets you, you know? In the kitchen. Life's a vapor. Look at it. James 4. Go to now, you can say today and tomorrow. We're going to go in such a city. We're going to continue there a year. We're going to buy, sell, and get game. That's what we're going to do. Look at it. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then poof, vanishes away. So just the facts. Number one, life is a vapor. We ought to say if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this and that. Amen? But life is a vapor. Are you ready to die? Life's a vapor. Number two, we all have an appointment with death. Can you say that with me? You don't like it, but it's true. We all have an appointment with death. Hebrews says this, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We all have an appointment with death. You know what I call it? Here's what I call it right here. I call it call ahead. Now here's what I'm talking about. The other night I was going out to eat up in Sarasota, Sam Seltzer's. I like so many restaurants. If you come long enough, you're going to hear them all. Okay? But we're going, and a couple want to take us out to thank us for something. And so it was great. Amen. I like this guy. Thank you. Amen. So we're out. We're driving up to Sarasota. And she picks up the phone. Does call ahead. What does that mean? I mean, she calls ahead while we in the car, gets our name on the list, as if we were there signing the list. But we in the car calling ahead. Got it? So when we get there, we're way ahead of people that are just walking up. Because we have what? Golly, not every restaurant does it, but I like that. Amen? So they call ahead. Now let me tell you something, friend. That's what you and I have. We're on the list. We have an appointment with death. And some of you, friend, your name might be up there before mine. Or I might be up there before yours. But the bottom line is, I ain't on no list. You on the list. Do you have the courage to admit and to notice, listen, friend, that life is short, it's a vapor, and I have an appointment with death one day, and my name's on the list? I'll tell you something. This past week, there's a dear lady that was sitting about three rows from this back section. She was here. She loved the service. I get a call on Wednesday night from a police officer. There's a death. And the husband wanted me there. And he'd come in from work and he had found her dead in the house. And so the detective called and I talked to him. I was having communion. I said, I'll be there when I get there right after communion. So after communion, I go over there. This woman, now where was she sitting last Sunday?
Right here.
Right back there. 47. Healthy. I arrived on the scene. They still hadn't removed her body from the house. I had to spend time with the husband to get him out of there and away from the situation. We talked. But you know what he said? He said, Pastor, she knew the Lord.
Amen.
She's with Jesus today. She's in heaven. I don't have a doubt. He was shaking. He was trembling, just crying. But he said, she's with the Lord.
Amen.
He told me they'd been married 4 years. He said, but you know what? When we got married, he said, I was away from the Lord. He said, but since then I've come to the Lord. And I was able to share Christ with her. And he said, I believe the purpose God had for me was to win my life to Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great story? It's a phenomenal story. Listen, here's the point. Here's the point. She had call ahead. You understand? I don't know when it's going to be. It could be me. It could be you. You're playing games, and I would be playing a game if I hadn't trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You're crazy. Jesus died. Just the facts. It happened. And you're going to die one day. Do you have the courage today to face death? I'm not saying we're going to get a busload up this afternoon, amen? But if your name is called, are you ready to go? Let's look at something else. Fear or courage? Matthew 10:28 says, fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Perhaps there's some of you in this room today. Of what will my family think of me if I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ? You need to get off that. You need to get on. What does he think?
Amen.
What does he think?
Amen.
Let me tell you, friend, the devil puts that mess in your head. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Don't fear what man can do. Don't fear what people say. Bow the knee before your Creator. And tell him I love you and I want you to come to my life and save me. Fear and courage. Which is it? Mama saw Psalm 91. My mother was one of the most courageous people I ever knew in my life. And I just ask you to bear with me for another moment or two. She was the most courageous person that I knew personally. And this was my mama's favorite psalm. It was all marked up in all of her Bibles. Mama's in heaven now. But when I got her Bibles, Psalm 95:5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. My mother was murdered 11 years ago, almost 12 years ago now, on Thanksgiving Eve in Rockingham, North Carolina. And I didn't know the abuse and some of the things that she had gone through. I knew she was married to a nut. We knew that. But Mama was strong, and Mama just stuck in there. And Mama loved Jesus. She had not always loved the Lord. She'd been a hellraiser and a drunk. And she'd only married that man 6 months before her conversion. My stepdad, T.A. Riley. But long story short, she tried to stay in this relationship, pray for him, and care for him. But on that evening, he took a .357 Magnum and shot my mother 6 times. But listen to me. Listen. That verse, one more time, Raj. I didn't know all the struggles Mama had gone through, even though we were real close. But some of you have a mama like mine who was like a rock. Say, you know what I'm talking about? Like a rock? They're always worried about your problems, but they won't really, they keep theirs to themselves pretty much, and they're just strong. I love mamas like I do. I love mamas like that. Not saying it's always the best thing, but I do love it. But here's what happened. After her death, stories started coming out. Her pastor told me, and her best friend told me, that when my mama would lay down and go to sleep, my stepdad would stick his head in the door of the little room, her bedroom, which used to be my bedroom. He would stick his head in the door. He'd say, "I'm gonna kill you tonight while you sleep." Can you imagine living life like that? I'm not recommending you live life like that. Hey, lady, you married to some guy like that? You need to go to the authorities. I'll tell you that right now. Don't put up with that kind of crap. That's the word. My wife didn't like it when I say that. But that is the word for that. Amen?
Amen.
But the bottom line is, after her death, I go into her little bedroom, and they clean the house after the incident had happened, and then we go in to get belongings and personal things. And I go into what used to be my old bedroom. And there's Mama's little single bed. And we just get different things, but then we take the covers off the bed. And as I remove the pillow from that bed, there was a hatchet. My mama slept with a hatchet under her pillow. This wasn't in Soviet Russia. Friend, this was in Rockingham, North Carolina. What I'm saying is this. Mama was scared, but she believed in Jesus, friend. She was scared to death, but she had courage in Jesus Christ. Do you have courage today that if your life were to be taken or your number were to be called, you'd go to be with Jesus? Are you sure of that? Here's the other verses. I'm getting somewhere. 9-12, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation," which is always marked up in my mother's Bible. "Therefore shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And I want Roger to put up on the screen what I believe my mama said to my stepdad. I believe Mama got tired of it. I believe Mama got tired of it that night. And right in that little bathroom, in the back of our home, I believe, and I know it's a tough message, and kids, I'm telling you, I'm sorry, but it's true, it's reality. But as he pointed at 357 at my mother's face, I believe my mama looked at him and said, "You can't threaten me with heaven. Okay? You can't threaten me." Can you say that with me? "You can't threaten me." Friend, I love life. I love my family. I love my children. I love you. I hope for many years to serve the Lord and love the Lord with you and grow. Amen? I'm excited about that. But you can't threaten me with heaven. Okay? I believe in going to the doctor, getting checkups, knowing what's right. Amen? I'm all for that. Amen. But you can't threaten me with heaven. I come by it honest, okay? And Mama's in heaven. Would you be in heaven today? Do you have the courage to die? I know some of you are in shock. "I can't believe I came to church. What's wrong with this guy?" Hey, one thing I've learned and I'm learning is to share who I am and to share experiences in my life. And if you don't like it, tell them. Okay? But they're real stories that we don't have to find in a book somewhere. This really happened. Do you know Christ today? The last thing is this. Real fast. Jesus tasted death for us so we don't have to fear. Hebrews 2:9. He was made a little lower than the angels. For the suffering of death, He's crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should what? Taste death for every man. We'll die once, but we don't have to die a second time. Amen? Because Jesus took care of that for us. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Let's look at another one. Hebrews 2:14. For then, as much as children partake of the flesh and blood, He Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And then finally, this verse. Can you read it with me this morning? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the deal, and we're done. Fast finish, really quick. The wage, that's what I've earned. The wage of sin is what? That's what I've earned. Whether you're as poor as dirt or you're as rich as all get out, guess what? It all ends in the dirt. That's where you don't go. That's what's going to happen one day. It's going to happen. That's what you and I have earned. What about earned? I've earned my way to heaven. All you've earned is death. Don't earn your way to heaven. You earned death because you were born. Look at this. The gift. Woo, I like that part. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is free? I used to cuss like a dog. Let me tell you something. That's my favorite four-letter word now. Free! Free! I can use that and I'd get in trouble. Hey, free! Listen, the gift of God is free, but you've got to take it. You've got to take it. Don't you fear what men say about you taking Christ and trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. Hey, you fear Him who can kill both body and soul in a place called hell. Amen? I know it's a tough message, but Jesus was tough. He had courage. It's in sissy stuff. The last one is this, the keys. Jesus Christ has the keys. And this is one of my favorite verses, Revelation 1:18. I am He that lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. You know what, friend? I enjoy knowing people and meeting people. But you know the one I really make sure I know? That's Jesus. Why? Well, He got the keys. Amen. He's got the keys. He's got the keys. Do you know Him today? Do you know Him? I mean, quit playing. I'm talking. Do you know Him? This might be the last time you and I ever get a chance to meet. Why not today, the first Sunday in February 2005, say, I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody else says. I want to have the courage to die. I want that in my life. Oh, that'd be the best thing you could ever decide today, friend. Look at this. Jesus Christ can free you from the chains and shackles that bind you. And we've got a picture for you. Look at this guy right here. Look at him. Boy, he's all bound, isn't he? Look at him. But there's a hand reaching, isn't he? There it is, friend. Jesus Christ reaches His hand out to you today. He loves you to pieces. He loves you. He says, I had the courage to die. I already did it for you. I love you to pieces. You have the courage to reach that hand, touch my hand, believe in me today, and you'll never die. You have the courage. Only He has the keys. And finally, only He can give you, say it with me, the courage. Let's stand together.